Hello everyone, today we have in studio Deacon Bob Kirby, who's celebrating his 12th anniversary of Deacon ordinations.
That's right.
It's awesome.
12 years.
12 years, like 12 apostles.
That's right.
Well, I wonder, first, what did you do before in your life? I know that you do something with the Catholic.
Well, before
society.
Well, first of all, I never aspired to or sought the permanent diaconate. It was a total surprise to me and everybody that knew me. I moved to Mobile a number of years ago to run the Better Business Bureau.
Mm.
And then I resigned from that position, and my wife and I were going to spend a lot of time sailing, be gone 6 months a year, stuff like that. And then one day, a former pastor at St. Dominic's, Father Bill Skonecki, out of the blue asked me if I would be interested in being a deacon. And I think I actually turned around to see if he was talking to someone else. I mean, it came as such a surprise.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about it. Total surprise. So I said, I'll think about it. So I thought, well, the first thing I need to do is find out what a deacon is.
Yes.
So where do I find out this information? Well, since I was less enamored with the internet back then, I knew that the Visitation Monastery had some books and stuff like that. So I go out there and I ask them if they have some literature or a book or whatever on the permanent diaconate. And this nice little lady said, well, I think so. And she left, she came back, sold me a book for $19.95.
Mm.
So I took it home. And then I thought, well, since I've made this big investment, I ought to at least read the book.
Yes, it's $20.
Turned out to be a book on the Baptist. I'm serious.
In the Visitation.
Well, I'm not just going to blow 1995.
Yes.
So I go back out there.
It's like, lady.
And it happened, the same nice lady, may I help you? And I said, yes, I have a question. And I looked around, I said, is this a Catholic place? She said, of course. And I said, well, why did you sell a book about Baptist deacons? And she was astonished, has no idea how it got in there. So anyway, this was just a short time before the class started. And I told Father Skonecki, okay, I will get into it, because I knew I was not making a real commitment until 4 years later.
Yes.
When ordination came around. So I do, I get into it, and 4 years later, we're at the cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the world is there for ordination. My family, of course, was there. And my son was sitting next to his mother and said, I'll bet when they call Dad's name, he gets up and leaves.
What?
Because the people that knew me could not believe that I would
become deacon.
Be ordained a deacon. And so he was quite shocked. And so then I was ordained, was assigned to St. Dominic's. About a year later, the Archbishop Lipscomb asked me to become the head of director, if you will, of the Catholic Charities Appeal. And to their surprise, I said yes. And so I was the director of the Catholic Charities Appeal for 7 or 8 years until Archbishop Brody came here.
Mm-hmm.
And after he had been here a short time, I told him, I believe that it's time for me to leave as director of the Catholic Charities Appeal for a couple of reasons. Number one, you're the new sheriff in town. Number two, I think this sort of thing needs to change. And he listened very politely and said, that's a good idea, but let me tell you what I have in mind. What I have in mind, he says, Deacon Kirby, is for you to become the director for development for the Archdiocese. And I said, oh, really? And he says, yes. Now, that means that you will continue as the director of the appeal. Mm-hmm. You also parish stewardship, also plan giving, and you'll be the director of the Catholic Foundation. I said, Archbishop, I got you there because we don't have such a thing. He said, Deacon, you'll take care of that. And so we did, and I did that for a couple of years and then resigned to that position and still active here at St. Dominic's. It's been a fun ride.
Mm, now I know you.
Pardon me?
Now I know your story.
That's right. That's in a nutshell.
Yes.
Yes. And I feel very blessed that it's worked out that way. Mm-hmm. We often hear I have heard, God speaks to somebody, or God told me to do this or told me to do that, and I've never quite figured that out because I keep waiting to hear his voice. Mm-hmm. And I finally decided that many times this is through someone else. Mm-hmm. As far as the permanent diaconate is concerned, it was through Father Skonecki. I don't know why he asked me. I was never active, you know, I was not the big Catholic guy running around or doing all this stuff. I was never that involved. It's just been fun.
It's really interesting what you said, because I have like so many ideas I would like to do in the parish, but mostly nothing of those ideas works, besides those who are suggested by parishioners or by staff office, like,
right,
let's do something. So it's like God speaks mostly through the people than to my own, like, not to my own head. It doesn't work well.
That's right. Well, yeah. After I was ordained, Father Skonecki said, well, now what do you want to do? I said, I have no idea. And he said, well, why don't you consider getting involved in RCIA? Mm. And that turned out to be something that I really did enjoy. And then after a few years kind of running the RCIA program at St. Dominic's, then Father Sink came up with the idea that we would have this Catholics Returning Home, or they call it different things in different places, and so that's what I've been doing more recently, rediscovering your Catholic faith here at St. Dominic's.
And we have a few people every
semester. That's right. Yeah. We never know for sure. But it is a real blessing to be able to help those who have left the Catholic Church to come back.
Even if it's a small number. But those
whatever the number is.
Yeah.
All we do is invite.
Yeah.
And then they answer or don't answer.
Yeah.
Yes.
What did you like the most from being a deacon for the last 12 years? Like, what did you enjoy the most? And what was the most, I would say, stressful things to do or challenging?
I haven't found any much of anything that is stressful. There are some disappointments along the way. And I think the highlight for what I really love is being on the altar, being working the Mass, being the deacon of the Mass. Mm-hmm. Quite a few years ago, we went to Rome, and people would ask me, what was the highlight, seeing the Pope? And so, I said, no. The highlight was being on the altar when we said Mass in the catacombs, on the altar at St. Peter's. Mm. That's a real
deal.
Charge for me. But also working with the people and maybe helping one or two along the way, but the interaction with the parishioners or those who, like I say, want to come back now. Mm-hmm. That's really the highlight.
It's great.
I think so.
Well, I'm glad that we have good number of permanent deacons, and the new class starts soon.
We have in August.
Good number of young guys too.
That's right.
Which is very great. That,
the unfortunate thing is that too few people know anything about the permanent diaconate. I mean, it's only been since the late 60s that the permanent diaconate was reinstituted, and so people, the church and the people in it, move kind of slowly. Mm-hmm. And so we really have a lack of understanding about what this guy is that's a deacon. Mm-hmm. You know, what is he? And what's he doing and why does he act this way and so forth. But I guess another 50 or 60 years we'll have it down pat.
So what were your duties as a permanent deacon? What you used to still do some things?
Well, we, excuse me, as a permanent deacon, number one, we minister the altar and or the word at Mass. When a deacon is present, of course, the deacon is one that must proclaim the gospel and help, whether we're the deacon of the word or if we're the deacon of the altar, help set up the altar and so forth. We can bless messages. We do bless marriages. Mm-hmm. We hear a lot of confessions. We just can't do anything about them. That's another confusing part for a lot of people. And, you know, sometimes, well, you look like a priest, but you can't hear confessions, you know, and so forth. So it's, I think, also, one of the highlights that I should have mentioned before is baptisms. Mm-hmm. The first baptism I did was a nice single mother, I would guess 25, 26, something like that. And I did not know her. I'm not sure how she found me. But she asked me to baptize her two-year-old. And I asked that question that people tell me I'm not supposed to ask. Why? Why would you want me to baptize your child? And she stopped for a second. Then she came up with the correct answer. She said, well, I've been kind of out sowing my wild oats and so forth. And it's time for me to get my life straightened out. And that includes my two-year-old daughter. Right answer.
Yes.
I think too many of us have taken baptisms too lightly.
Yes.
Another good thing about it, St. Dominic's and other parishes, if one is going to have their child baptized, they must go to a baptismal class. We're making a little bit bigger deal out of it. Baptism is something more than an excuse for a party. And so it's really cool to be able to baptize children.
Mm-hmm. It's funny to see how parents sometimes are like, what, baptismal preparation class? And when they go, after like, this was so good, it helped me so much to understand my faith, the baptism, duties as a godparent, and it really brings a lot for people.
Oh, yeah, it's very hours. Important. Yeah. And I think that was, this preparation has been lacking for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And now we're finally getting with the program. Mm-hmm. And it's like the moving of confirmation into high school.
Later.
Another good thing. It's like preparation for marriage. This is a big deal, so let's act like it's a big deal.
And we see fruits of that.
Oh, yes.
It really helps people. And
that's right.
Helps to avoid many problems.
Exactly.
Disappointments, yeah. What would you say as a, I would say, word of wisdom from you to the guys who attend the new class for them on the way of preparations?
I don't know that I have a lot of words of wisdom. However, I would say, number one, you have 4 years in which one discerns whether this is really for them. And number two, it's one of the most fulfilling things. Most of us are married when we are ordained. That hopefully is fulfilling for everyone, as it has been for me. But the ordination as a deacon can change your life. Mm-hmm. And plus, you learn something in those 4 years. I knew nothing about the Bible, and I didn't know anything about anything. And I was so far behind my classmates. Mm-hmm. They all knew all this stuff, and I didn't know anything about it. And it's like today. For homilies, it's hard work for me. Mm-hmm. Because I'm bound and determined to get it right. Maybe my delivery isn't worth a hoot, but what I say is going to be correct. Mm-hmm. I've got to know that it's right. It takes me several days to prepare a homily. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to screw it up.
Yeah.
think that's kind of important, and I think that's kind of important for all the those guys in the upcoming class. I think it starts in August. All you got to do is pay attention and listen, and maybe God will be speaking to them too.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good word of wisdom.
There you go.
Well, I see a lot how the permanent deacons are very important at the level of small parishes. When you don't have so many lay people to help, when deacon runs many things, like exactly. He runs the liturgy and help prepare Easter Triduum and baptism,
yes.
And funerals and many ministries in the parish.
Yes.
And we can see how much deacon really is helpful and how we need this ministry.
Not all parishes are as fortunate,
yes,
as St. Dominic is.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very, very good point. The smaller parishes, one priest, not as many people that can volunteer. The numbers just aren't there. And I think probably more important in a small parish,
mm-hmm,
to have a deacon that can take up the slack.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you.
And happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. Thank you.